You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jay here for Stretford Paddock. This is the Academy Review, and joining me, as always, it's been a little while, but my partner in crime, David Pritt. How are we doing, bro?
Not too bad. It's been a long time since the last day. Was it before Christmas, wasn't it?
It must have been, yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a lot going on as well in the Academy stroke under 23s that we're going to get into. So if you don't know, but you probably do, but I'll tell you anyway, we're going to be looking at the Academy team. We're going to be looking at the under 23s. We're going to be looking at our loanees.
A few of them. There's been a few changes since last time.
Because we went a little bit loan crazy, didn't we, towards the end of the transfer window.
Solskjaer's just been throwing them in.
Changing them as well. You know, you're not there. You're going there now, doing a bit of moving around. So we've got plenty to get through. What we're kicking off with?
Start with the 18s, eh?
Start with the under-18s, yeah. What have you got for me?
Well, the first game, we were supposed to be playing Salford City in the FA Youth Cup, which would have been a great game because we played their first team. Well, I think it was their first team, but they had players missing. In the EFL trophy, and we battered him, which was good. So we're going to play him in the Youth Cup. We thought it was going to be good. But the night before, the FA decided to cancel everything. So,
as you do, everything cancelled.
Yeah, so we don't know when we're going to play that, if we're going to play it. Hopefully, they'll reinstate it at some point. But they went out without a game, which was a bit unfortunate.
Are we expected to win that game comfortably? Is that
so? Well, yeah, but the fact we beat the first team, and
is that like you look at that and you go, oh, that's a bit of a gimme?
Yeah, they might as well just give us
do you know what I mean? Instead of calling it off, just give us the win, save everyone on the mither. But all right, we'll wait and then batter.
But I think that would have been a good, a lot of people would have watched that because the Salford connection with the class of 92, you know, people would have actually seen the players.
The class of 92, the United fans and United legends, so they go and buy another club and then play against United. What's all that about? Don't get me started on that, David. We'll be here all day. Yeah, so that's postponed. What else is going down?
So the following week, 23rd, I think it was, of January, we played Blackburn away, which is it's one of my favourite places to go, but at the same time, it's not because you just... If you don't wear the right footwear, you just sink.
Where is the game played?
Brockhall Village, I think. Yeah, it's like...
I know Brockhall Village. That's where they train.
Yeah.
So I used to cover Blackburn when I was a reporter.
You know when you go in and on the left?
Yeah.
If you carry on going straight, they've got the academy at the back.
Right, yeah.
You go through like a housing estate.
It's quite a nice training ground, that. I used to cover it for a few years when I was a Lancashire reporter. Interviewed Ryan Sunnicliffe that once.
X-Man United.
Yeah, I don't know if he was at Blackburn. I think he was with Fulham or someone that they were there. I can't remember anyway. But yeah, it's what happened there.
It was a mad game, really. What a way to start the new season off. At the very start, first minute, we get a goal. It was bad clearance to Charlie Savage. He plays in McNeil and puts it away in the first minute, 1-0. What a start to the new year. It's just... Yeah, you couldn't have asked for a better start because I could say the previous game against Salford was called off, so you don't know what the match fitness and all that. But yeah, you can't get better than first minute, can you?
You can't get better than the first minute, as Southampton will tell you, that's a different story.
I'm once again babbling about half an hour or so in. Savage wins the ball again. He plays it through to McNeil, who stretches the keeper, but then he puts it past him for 2-0. And great finish from McNeil. He's just goal scorer. You know.
I ask you this every time we're on, but for people that don't know, Savage sounds familiar, that name.
Oh, yeah. Robert's son.
It is Robbie Savage's son, in case you're wondering. Yeah, because I know we always talk about that. Sounds like him and McNeil doing bits.
Yeah, Savage is... like the back end of, well, the start of this season up to Christmas, he looked brilliant, and he's just looked even better in this game at the moment. Yeah, he was all over the place, winning tackles, and some of the passes he does is brilliant, really.
Is he like his dad? Is he that type
no, he's
of player?
Not. He's, no, he's a midfielder. Obviously, his dad was a striker when he was at United. But
people forget that, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's what was his hindrance, why he didn't really make it. I think if he would have been a midfielder...
Well, I don't know, but like...
No,
really?
Yeah.
Scholes, but Keane, move out of the way. Robbie's got
well,
this.
Well, if you compare Robbie Savage and Nicky Butt, especially when Butt went to like Blackburn.
All right.
To Newcastle.
Yeah, and Birmingham. I get where you're going with that one, yeah. It would have been tough, but you never know. Strange things have happened.
He might not have crashed his car into that tree.
And then it would have been a whole different world we live in. But Charlie Savage doing bits.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Like I say, he 2 assists in the first half an hour or so. You can't beat that. And then Hoogerworth gets the ball in like the midfield, loops it over to Noah Nemmer, and he slots it away from the right hand side for 3-0. You know, we've 5 minutes before the half and 3-0 up. You're just like top of the league. It's done, isn't it?
Done. Hey, go home. It's over. So we're 3-0 up, 5 minutes before the first half. Yep. Take half time.
Yeah.
3-0.
3-0 half time.
Yep.
That's it now, job done.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it wasn't that, was it?
You're saying unfortunately, Dave, which is worrying me.
Well, it was unfortunate, but fortunate. Just.
All right, yeah. Okay. I like what you did there.
Messy corner from like 10 minutes into the half, get bounced around, falls to one of the Blackburn players, he's blasts it in. You know, a lot of players in the way, so nothing the keeper could have done, really. So they get it back.
Lucky.
Get it back, one goal back. And then around about the 70th minute, ball's crossed in from the left. Bad clearance, and then given to a Blackburn player, puts it away. Only one goal behind then.
Oh, 20 minutes to go. It's all happening.
10 minutes to go.
10 minutes to go.
Yeah, another cross from the left, clear to the edge of the box, and then player just whacks it. 3-3.
Oh, my God. You are
so 3-0 up.
You are joking me, Dave. What is going on here?
Yeah, 3-0 up to 3-3, and it would have been... you know, our record for the 18s has been amazing, and you know, to throw it away like that would have been horrendous. But then 2 minutes ago, McNeil has a shot. It's blocked by a player, comes to Charlie Savage, who'd been on fire. He hits it into the ground, loops over the keeper, win the game 4-3.
4-3, 3-0 up, 3-0. Let them think they're back in the game. Come on, what's that? Oh, look, really, you're back in it now, 3-0. No, boom, 4-3, thank you.
Yeah, and another 3 points, top of the league. It was just a great way to do it. You always best way to win it when you win it last minute, really, isn't it?
It does nothing for my nerves, but yeah, it must have been. Especially that shows as well the resilience. Me and you have spoken several times on this podcast about the resilience of some of these youngsters, because they've got that fight in them, they've got that will, they've got that sort of never give up attitude, which it's not just about passion, obviously. You need ability as well, but they've got the ability. But it shows that they've got the resolve to bounce back and not bounce back, but to keep going.
Yeah, I think... the fact that Solskjaer's a manager now, and he's doing it like the Fergie way, where he does want youth bringing through, that they probably look at it and think, if I play well enough, I'm going to get my opportunity. So they're always going to be fighting to get points and get goals and win games, because they know that if they play well, they're going to get an opportunity.
That sounds good as well, because especially like you said, they've had a game postponed. Probably a bit annoyed at that. You go in a Blackburn game, you're 3-0 up, 3-0, but you end up winning 4-3. Fantastic. And it sounds like with the likes of McNeil and Savage... got a couple of players.
Yeah,
there,
Savage,
so definitely keep your eye
for me. Savage, he's the one to watch at the moment.
Yeah,
in midfield. Yeah, he's obviously playing for the 18s, but he may get his opportunity with obviously players loaned out at the moment. He may get his opportunity for the 23s and have a couple of games there. See how he does.
Keep your eye on him. Make sure you keep your eye on Savage. We might have to start being nice to Robbie Savage if his son plays for United.
I'm always nice to Robbie Savage.
I'm all right, Robbie Savage. I don't, he doesn't wind
nice
me
guy.
Up. Yeah, he doesn't wind me up like he does everyone else. But I know it's on my timeline. A lot of people don't like him.
And his brother's a United fan.
Well, there you go. Hey, He's only a troll. He's only a wind-up merchant.
Yeah, so the following weekend, we had Burnley away, and I don't think cameras were allowed in, so didn't see it. We got beat 1-0, and Hugoworth got sent off the last minute. Don't know what for. So, yeah, we lost.
What do you mean cameras weren't allowed in? Why not?
I don't think the COVID thing. Some they don't want people turning up.
Is it not just because they've not got like electricity in Burnley? I'm only joking. If you're from Burnley, I know you've got electricity.
But yeah, I don't know if you. Anyway, the normal setup on there, they might have had one camera. They might put some highlights out, but I've not seen it. This is the problem.
It's a dark day anyway. You can't even watch the under-18s and on the telly.
Yeah, it's like I say 1-0. I think it's might be the first defeat of the season. I think, and.
But if there was no cameras there...
Was it a defeat?
Did it happen?
Yeah.
Do you know what
I
mean?
And did Hugoworth get sent off?
Exactly. Think about it.
But we're still 6 points ahead over Liverpool.
That's all that matters to me.
Yeah,
you
top
know
of
that.
The league. Yeah. You know, can't complain. And we've got a game next Saturday against Sunderland away, which has always been a good place to go. I'm pretty gutted that I won't be there this
Is
year.
That at their training ground?
Yeah.
The nice training ground they've got that features on the documentary?
Yeah, it is there. Yeah. But you don't see where they... It's like Teletubby Land. Listen, you walk in the building, you come down, and then you're like, where the pitch is, and you go through this tunnel under this like Teletubby. Yeah. It's amazing. But it is cold. It's worth it because we win all the time when we're there.
Well, that's what matters. Keep winning, keep going there. They just lose, don't they, Sunderland? Whenever I watch that documentary, they got relegated twice.
Yeah.
It's just like, you think, surely now they're at a level where they keep dropping down, they'll come back up, and then they seem to miss out on getting promoted. It just doesn't seem like a happy camp.
It's one of them where they've just fallen so far that I don't think the academy and the 23s is a priority at the moment. And the fact that we battered them last season, and this season we've taken two players off him, Joe Hugill and Logan Pye. I mean...
More on him later, Joe Hugill.
I just can't see what they're going to be able to do at the moment. You know, I could be completely wrong, and we could be a Sheffield United thing. But yeah, I feel a bit sorry for him, but...
Don't feel sorry for him, Dave, because no. You cast your minds back, right?
Yeah, I'm
talking... 2012.
No, yes, I know.
They were Poznanin in front of us.
I'm talking about these under-18 kids who are getting beat every week. It's not nice for him.
Fair enough. He's a nicer man than I am, Dave. I'm just bitter.
But yeah, them fans at the stadium are like,
He's laughing now, eh?
Yeah, so that's it for the 18s. Like I say, the two games should have been three and top of the league.
Comfortable. Yeah. I mean, obviously not great that we had a defeat, but, you know, a good win over Blackburn as well. And like you say, some good players there that we've been talking about. Over the last few months, it sounds like there's reasons to be cheerful when we're looking at our academy at the moment.
Yeah, it could be good because, like I say, the defeat might have come at the right time where the next game is Sunderland. So get it out of the system that this loss and they just have a fight back against a team that they should be beating.
And you've got a couple of players there with maybe a little bit of points to prove or something, going back to their old club. What have you got next for us?
23s.
23s, mate. Everyone's been talking about the 23s lately, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, for good and bad reasons.
Yes, that's true.
So we played on the 18th. We played Leicester away. Big news was the starting lineup. Matty Kovar was back in goal after his loan at Swindon.
Yeah, because I remember covering this on one of the news paper talks because he went there on loan, and then the manager, whose name is it John Sheridan over there? I can't remember the manager. I think at Swindon had a decision to make.
Well, they got a new manager in.
Right, okay.
So we've been playing every game.
Right.
New manager comes in, decides he don't want a lone player in goal. He wants his own player, and then he'd stop playing.
Whatever.
So I think United went...
Richie Wellens are the United... old boy is the new manager. Obviously got ties to the club, but he's got to make his own decisions, so we get that.
I think United went, we'll take him back if you're not going to play.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then, obviously, Dylan Levitt as well come back from a rough time at Charlton, where I don't think he played much. It was a waste of time loan with Lee Bowyer.
I'm quite glad he's not playing under Lee Bowyer for reasons we don't need to get into. But yeah, I don't think that was a good move for him anyway.
Yeah, and we played Leicester at their brand new training ground, which looked pretty nice, to be honest, on this brand new pitch, and got off to a bad start. You know, like the 18s when they scored in the first minute.
Go on.
Leicester did the same against us. Ball on the left beat. A bad clearance from Kovar. get fall straight to the forward from Leicester. He just passed it to the next one, puts it past him. Real mistake. And I don't know whether it was Kovar, where he's, because he's come back to this team, he's just a bit out of sorts.
Bit complacent, maybe. Maybe just like, you know, because the rough and tumble, was it League One or wherever he was at? And then coming into...
It was just a bad clearance. Yeah. I just don't know what he's doing. In the first minute as well, it was just...
Not the start.
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't like him because he is a decent keeper.
Yeah, I've heard good things about him.
And then around about the 15-minute mark, ball in the left, beat Kovar. It was a funny one. It was like a cross, but he just went in the goal, you know, across the turf. And looked at the replays a couple of times. You couldn't tell if it took a deflection or not, but even so, it was... Kovar should have dealt with
it. What's going on?
He was having a bad time. Well,
he's only young, he'll learn.
But a couple of minutes later, Hannibal picks the ball up. He had a ton of space, puts it out to Alanga, who does what Alanga does. Shoots, cross goal, scores.
It's that easy.
Yeah, it's Alanga. He's fat. He gets the ball, he runs with it, and he scores.
I know, you say this like on repeat every time I speak to you. It's like, Alanga gets the ball, and he just shoots, it goes in.
So we got one back, and then just before half-time, Harvey Neville, talking about another player who's got a famous dad, he crosses in on the right to Alanga again, who, nice finish, takes it past the keeper for 2-2, and we end the half, you know, 2-0 down to 2-2. Only positives, really.
Game, man.
Second half comes.
Don't like the look of this, Dave. I don't like the way you're positioning yourself. We did all right. You look like you're about to give me bad news.
Yeah, well, the first minute in the first half was bad. First minute in the second half, it was all right.
Right.
But the second minute in the second half, yeah, long ball, it bounced, and then Kovar comes out, they just chip it over him, and it was bad positioning from him. He had a shocker.
What's going on with Kovar here, right? He's got an alone move. He's obviously done all right. It's not like he was dropped because he was terrible. They got a new manager in, and then comes back into the under-23s, which you think he'd be fine with. You know, he's got that little bit more experience. Everything's hunky-dory, and he sounds like he's having a bit of a shocker. And I get that. He's a youngster. I'm not throwing him under the bus. It happens, but it's just a bit bizarre, isn't it, because you wouldn't have saw that one coming.
Yeah, it was a shame because I highly rate him. I think he's a top keeper, and he just had a shocker.
Mate, don't worry. There's a long, many years ahead of you. It's only, you know, it's only the beginning of your career. You'll be all right.
But then the worst thing in the match happened around about the 50-minute mark. There was a challenge with Alanga. It wasn't even that bad of a challenge. It just the way he went into him, Alanga went over, fell on his shoulder. And he was down for ages. The guy got booked. I don't think it was that bad of a challenge. It was just the way he fell down. And then he got subbed off and you could see him coming around. He cut all his shirt off and he was holding his collarbone. And he went off. They got interviewed the following week, Neil Wood, the manager, and they asked what his problem was. He said it was just a upper body injury. They never mentioned what it was, but it looked like a broken collarbone. Oh, so he could be out for a while.
That's gutting, that.
Yeah, and it was because he was on fire. I think he would have scored a hat trick.
Yeah.
In that game, I don't think we played particularly well, but I think we probably may have got beat. But he would have scored a hat trick. And then Leicester score a goal. Ball's crossed in, put in, and luckily the flag goes up. But what a terrible decision when he saw the replay. He was miles onside, and we got away with it.
No VAR at this level.
But it didn't matter to them because they got another opportunity. The ball comes into the box. Guy picks it up and he's just no one around him. Loads of space. Literally takes a touch, looks up, shoots. Can't blame Kovar for that one. It was just bad defending. And that's how it finished. 4-2. Not a good...
What's the standard like, Dave? Because we've had me, Housen, and a few of us have been discussing about the under-23s and how it can be a real mixed bag. What do you think the standards are like? Dave watches football at all levels, and I mean all levels.
It's a funny one. I mean, the fact that we're now out of the EFL trophy, I'm gutted about because I think that step, the players who play in it, the level has to step up to play in that. 23s, sometimes it's a bit lackadaisical sometimes. You're just playing to play. I don't think it was in this game. I think they were going for it. We weren't good enough that game. But yeah, sometimes if you're playing a team, sometimes it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's only when you're playing like the big boys, you know, your rivals, that they're really up for it sometimes. as we'll talk about in the next game.
Nicely done. The rivals. Go on, hit me with it, brother.
We had on Saturday, Liverpool away.
That mob from down the M62, Liverpool away. And I think everyone knows about this game, but tell us anyway, because this has been doing the rounds. Everyone was rapping about this one. What went,
yeah,
what
so
went down?
The first news from that game was then Brandon Williams is playing right back.
It's going to be tasty.
And Ahmad Diallo, our new signing, it was his first appearance for United on the playing on the right wing.
He won't amount to anything. I've heard he's rubbish.
No, he's rubbish. Yeah, rubbish.
Didn't even get involved, did he?
Not until like the 14th minute when he steals the ball and then goes one-on-one and puts it past the keeper. Oh. Yeah.
What an introduction against Liverpool.
You saw this the goals.
I saw the goals. Yeah. I didn't see the game. Yeah, I saw the goals.
So nice finish that, wasn't it? Yeah.
Right. I don't want to get carried away because I've not seen a lot of this kid, but it's safe to say he's probably one of the best players in the history of football.
But yeah, he's... I don't think he did much before that, but the way
in the 30 minutes before that goal.
But the way he picked the ball up and then he still stole it and scored with his left. He did well.
But yeah, it wasn't. I mean, obviously he's having a decent game, and others around him are as well.
Especially the next goal was just one of my favourite goals this season. I've seen Hannibal gets the ball, backheels it to Pujmal. He looks up. Plays a beautiful ball to Joe Hugill. He takes it around the keeper and scores for 2-0. It was, if you've not seen it, I think the highlights are on YouTube. It's worth watching. It's just an amazing goal.
It is proper chef's kiss tackle. Perfect.
Yeah, 2-0 up against Liverpool, which was...
Mate, all day long.
But then, unfortunately, they get one back. You get the free kicks put in. It's headed out.
It's never a free kick anyway, in my opinion, even though I'm not seeing it.
And then a half volley in. It was a decent shot. Beat Kovar. He was actually, I thought, was playing well this game.
He knows. The Scousers, he's up for it.
Yeah, unfortunately, they get another and it does go in half-time 2-2.
See, now you're starting to worry, aren't you? You're thinking, we're 2-0 up against that mob from down in 62. It's 2-2. What's going on?
Yeah, and I thought that would have galvanised Liverpool. They're playing at home. We haven't been particularly that good in the 23s. I thought they'd just maybe run away with it a little bit, but luckily that did not happen.
Yes.
Harvey Neville to Ahmad Diallo.
Diallo.
He puts it over to the left-hand side to Fernandez, who's playing at left-back.
Bruno. It's a bold move.
Yeah, listen, you're not doing well in the first team. We're going to sit you at left-back.
We've got the Scousers under 23s. We need a win. Go on, son. We know you like playing against them.
He puts it in the box for Hugill. Brilliant finish. He gets his second of the game. Proper goal scorer's goal. Nice finish as well. And then 65th minute, Hannibal on the left-hand side runs into the box. Two defenders are sandwiched him. Goes down. Referee points at the spot.
Should have been two red cards in my opinion, but yeah, we'll take the penalty.
But we'll give Joe Hugill a penalty.
He's on hat-trick,
scores a hat-trick.
Yeah.
And then people are moaning, he scored two from open play, but one's a penalty, so we don't count. So he had to go and score another, didn't he, just to prove the point. Shawtire wins the ball, plays it across to Hugill. He puts it away. Another good finish. Gets four goals.
Four goals against the Scousers. Amazing, absolute scenes.
Yeah, I know his finishing was great as well. I wouldn't say he's been hot and cold, but he's looked good, but other games where he's not scored. Obviously, as a striker, people are judging him on your goals, not on your play. And he's not always scored in every game, but this game he got the goals we needed.
Can't knock that at all.
Once again, Hannibal sprinting into the box, brought down.
They can't handle him.
Get another penalty.
So
Hugill's already had
got four.
Listen, I've got four, I don't need it. Ahmad, your first game, do you want a penalty?
Do I want a penalty, says Ahmad.
Yeah, so on your first game against Liverpool, you got a penalty. Yeah, I think you just blast it. Just
put your foot through it.
No. Oh, just decide to Panenka it. And
the absolute cojones on this youngster.
Yeah, just sleeps it over. Goal.
Mate, this is mint. Watching his goals. I was like running around the living room. I was watching. It was amazing. Like, it's brilliant.
Yeah, it was. And I think after that, we just... not switched off, but we've won this now. And unfortunately, Liverpool got another one back. It was like a cross slash chip over Kovar, and it was just like tapped in. But
fluky.
Yeah, fluky. But like a minute to go, they had a shot again, but Kovar with another great save with his feet.
kept, same. You know, perseverance there, kids. That's the answer.
Yeah. So, like I say, in the Leicester game, he didn't have the best of games, but this game, he pulled out a few good saves and all around good performance. Joe Hugill, what can you say? Just like I say, scoring four goals against Liverpool. And I found out afterwards that they didn't even give him the ball.
Why not?
Didn't even give him the ball.
Scouse has nicked it. I'm not saying that all Scousers are thieves, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, wasn't allowed to take it home with him.
Why? That's, how's that a thing?
Yeah.
I thought you always got the match ball if you score that trick.
Apparently not in the 23s.
That's disgusting. Needs to FIFA.
He should have swiped
needs
it.
To look in, yeah, he should have. Right, well, we'll start a petition. We're going to get Joe Hugill a match ball to replace the one he didn't get for scoring four goals against the Scousers. If one of their lot had scored four goals against us, they'd build a bloody statue outside Anfield. Let's have it right.
Yeah, so that win put us back in seventh, but we're 7 points off top. We're 10 points off the relegation.
Yeah.
So we're just like mid-table, just...
He's mid-table. I just want to ask you a little bit about Hugill, because you mentioned him quite a lot on this channel and on these podcasts. Obviously got four goals. Ollie mentioned him in his press conference because he was asked about Diallo, and he sort of said about, well, actually, you know, if you can ask me about who's sort of, you know, should be knocking on my door, look at Hugill, got four goals. For those who don't know, what sort of a striker is he and how good do you think he can become?
He's just in the box striker. Maybe, I don't want to compare him to anyone, but if it's Jamie Vardy-esque, just like in the box, getting a goal, things like that. I mean, his finishing was great as well. But yeah, he's just a poacher. He's not one, I wouldn't, like the trouble is that these days with, especially with United, is our strikers, they like to go on the wing, like Greenwood, Rashford, Martial. They're not
centre-forwards in the traditional sense. Yeah. I know Martial plays there but a lot of the time, but they're not traditional centre-forwards.
No, I would say Hugill is.
He is. He's an old school, in and around the box, predator. Like, I'm not comparing him either, but the type of player that Ruud would have been.
Yeah. Like, I'm not comparing, yeah, but...
Yeah, yeah, like Van Nistelrooy type of... I'm just around a six-yard box a lot of the time.
If he was playing in the first team, he'd be in the number nine position.
Right, so do you think he's got what it takes to... Because it's notoriously difficult for strikers, especially, to get from academy to the Manchester United first team. How many strikers have we had, out-and-out strikers, that have gone, you know, you can argue Rashford and Greenwood, although, again, are they out-and-out strikers? Probably Mason is a little bit, but over the years, there's not many that have come from the academy and gone on to become Manchester United's main striker. Do you know what I mean? Even like Danny Welbeck coming for a little while, then getting moved on. James Wilson, a cameo, and moved on. Do you think he's got what it takes to trouble the first team?
Possibly, but he's still young. He's still playing for the 18s as well.
Yeah.
He's only signed this season. He's not played a full season for us yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had games called off, so he's not even playing all the games possible. It's early days, but if he keeps going the way he's going, and he's got competition as well, because obviously Charlie McNeil, who scores...
He's got like 3,000 goals since he's 10.
I think it's just about 3,000. So he's going to be wanting to be pushing into the 23s team. And yeah, they're going to have a good competition. So hopefully it'll improve both of them to try and one-up each other.
It's a nice, not even an issue. It's a nice thing to have happening, isn't it? That in fact you've got these two out-and-out goal scorers who love, you know, banging them in and they're sort of getting a little bit of a mini contest going on between them. And hopefully we'll see them get a chance in the first team. You know, maybe not. I don't know. What do you reckon? This season's a bit too soon.
I'd probably say this season's too soon. Yeah. Especially the fact that are we challenging for the league? I don't know.
Yes, we are.
We're challenging for the league.
Say it out loud.
We're challenging for the league.
We're in a title.
We don't want to take any risks at the moment, do we?
No. I suppose you're right. I mean, to be fair, we could have put them both on against Southampton for the last 10 minutes. Probably got a goal as well.
He went on the bench, though. Ollie's like that. Should have put him on the bench.
Bring him on. You go. Get yourself a goal. Get in on the act. Never mind. No, it sounds like lots of reasons to be cheerful there. Glad to see the youngster at Diallo coming in, doing well. Do we need to temper our expectations a bit? Because I know I was only saying he's the greatest footballer this year. But I was being a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but there's talk already and these momentum's gathering on social media of people saying, oh, you know, he's got to be given a chance soon. Do you think that we can expect to see him in the first team or in and around the first team? Maybe not starting, but in the squad.
With the Europa League, possibly. Yep. Obviously, I said they weren't in the EFL Trophy anymore, so they might use this as a springboard for some of the players. So it'd be nice to see him in a game like that, you know, in the Europa League.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think, you know, we
spoke to James Cooper as well from Sky, who talked to me on the Tier 1 Transfer podcast, and he was saying something similar about, you know, the expects Diallo to maybe feature in the squad within this month, actually. So that's good to see. Exciting player, type of player that you think United fans would love as well. Attacking, winger, tricky, quick. Got those sort of old school United traits that we've perhaps been missing a little bit from the first team. What else have you got for me?
So that was it for the 23s. We'll talk about, obviously, so a couple of departures and some loan changes.
Done well to keep up with this, mate. The loans, it's all happening.
Yeah, I've not gone through everyone. People who are still at the same team are just, yeah, they're still there. But
what's pointing out?
But Lucas Bezier, who's a centre-back who I really rated, also he could play in right-back. He's left United now. He's signed a four-year deal with Silesia, who are a Polish team, I think.
Okay.
He's left us, unfortunately. I thought he'd have been given a chance at some point, but yeah, he decided to go and play first team football.
We wish him well.
Yeah. Jacob Carney, we talked about the goalkeeper. I said he was in the non-league team at the Bright House Town. He's now moved to Portadown FC, who in the Northern Ireland Premier League.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, I don't know much about the.
What do you mean you don't know much about the Northern Ireland Premier League? What sort of academy review is this? I expect you to watch every single game in the Northern Ireland Premier League next time before we speak. Well, otherwise, I'll be very disappointed.
So he's gone there. I don't know if it's a step up or not, but it's a different challenge.
Yep.
And it's obviously good for a goalkeeper. Ethan Laird, he's moved to MK Dons.
Yes.
And from what I've not seen much, but from what I've heard and read, he's doing bits and they really like him. I don't think that he's playing particularly as a right back. He's playing more forward as a...
Yeah, like a winger almost.
Like, if he's playing a third, but like a wing back kind of thing. Yeah, apparently they're very happy with him there. And he's, if he can stay...
If there's one player who needs a bit of luck and deserves it, it's Ethan Laird. Well, he's had such a time with it with injuries.
Well, his first game, he went off injured. Oh. And I just thought...
Yeah, we were doing a live and we covered it and was like, oh no, is this going to be another... It's a spell out. But
luckily, he posted on his Instagram that it was just a dead leg. Yeah. Which, dead leg, you carry on with that, don't you?
Especially Ethan Laird. He's not exactly soft, is he?
Another big one was Tedden Mengi. Obviously, he wasn't involved in the 23s games. I'm like, where's Tedden? What's Tedden doing? He's going to meet Wayne Rooney.
That for me, is a combination made in heaven. Tedden Mengi, he's a great player, isn't he? He's great attitude as well, great lad, and, you know, proper old school mank. Wayne Rooney, just the type of sort of leader that, you know, that Mengi could probably be one day. I mean, it sounds like a match made in heaven. What do you make of that move?
Yeah, I really like it. Obviously, Derby are quite a decent team, and the fact that they rate him high enough that a young player can go on loan there as a centre-back, it's only can be good things. We'll have to see how he does. Fingers crossed he just smashes it and comes back.
Are you surprised at all that he has gone out on loan? Because some people looked at it and gone, thought he may have got some opportunities in the first team, or he was, you know, he was in a couple of squads when maybe he was going to get a chance in the Europa. Or do you think that he needs a move where he's going to get some more regular football? Because he wasn't going to get regular football in the first team United, was he?
I think that's it, the regular football. He may have got, like I say, opportunities, but he wants to be playing. And I think he needs to be playing in order to progress.
Yeah, sounds good. It sounds like a good move, and obviously we'll be keeping you posted and updated on anything that goes on with Tedden Mengi at Derby County and the other ones, whether it's Ethan Laird at MK Dons or the other loan moves that they've spoken about. Is that it? Have you got more?
No, big one yesterday, James Garner.
Jimmy Garner.
Moved away from Watford once again, playing most games, and then towards the end, they weren't playing him, so United went, come back.
Yep.
Sent him to Nottingham Forest.
Big club. Double European Cup winners many years ago.
Played yesterday, got man of the match.
Man of the match.
And I think he hit the crossbar as well.
That's all that matters.
It's hard to see when you look online about how players are doing, because especially with United players, it's just United fans saying, oh, he's amazing, isn't he? But when you read through between the lines and you see actual Nottingham Forest fans and what they thought of him when they watched, they seem to be impressed with him. It's only one game so far.
Yeah, but I mean, I like Jimmy Garner. I mean, you've spoken a lot about him, and when I've been to see the under-23s, he's been like the star of the show, where everyone's like, oh, James Garner, what's he going to do? You mentioned that at Watford things went a bit sour there. So seems like a good move for him, and hopefully he can kick on and you know, give Ollie something to think about next season.
Yeah, hopefully he's going to be a regular and just get the games in and get what he needs out of a loan. Chong, similar thing. He was at Wolfsburg. Werder Bremen.
Well, I was about to say. Yeah.
Start with W's.
You know. They're in Germany.
Yeah.
Stop nitpicking. All right.
Yeah, once again, same thing, playing.
He started off really well, didn't he? And everyone was like, I think he scored in his like one of his first games of pre-season. I was like, look, told you there's a player here. And then it all went south, didn't it? And he's ended up going to, is it Club Bruges?
Club Bruges, and he's been given the number 7 shirt, which is...
which obviously means
he's amazing.
He's amazing. Where do you stand with Chong, Dave? Because I've asked you this loads of times about him, because obviously he went to Werder Bremen, and people, when he went there, were like... He's never coming back. That'll be the end of him at United. Did all right at the beginning. Everyone was like, oh, maybe we were a bit hasty. Not really worked out. Got to Club Bruges. Where do you see him ending up?
Well, he's a player that we need at United. We don't have right-sided players, and he is one. And I think this loan has got to work out where he just smashes it, and then he can come back and say, yeah, I can be that right-sided player. If we don't sign anyone, we're going to have to use him because there's no one else, really.
I know what you mean. The problem I have with Chong is whenever I've seen him in the first team, he's never stepped up. He's never for me. And I know he's only had cameos, to be fair to the lad. And I'm not throwing him under the bus because he might end up having a glittering career. But he's never gone to that level where he's come on for the first team and you think, wow, that's what all the hype's about. It's always been a bit underwhelming. And almost, I don't like to be critical of young players because he's still a kid, but... he's not played that well for the first team when he's come on, and you're like, oh, really? So I hope it does work out.
Yeah, and I think with him, he needs consistency of games.
Yeah, I get that.
But I think like he started out so well for him in Germany. He was doing that, and then it seemed to have died down. But maybe at Club Bruges, you can do something. Because even if we do get a right-sided player in, because at the moment, what we're playing, Mason Greenwood there, he's not a right-sided player. No, he's a centre-forward.
Centre-forward, isn't he? Like we said earlier.
Even if we get someone, you're always going to need a backup, you know. So I do think he can be part of the first team squad if he just ups his level just one more. But yeah, I hope he does well.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see because he's had a lot of hype to Heath Chong, and some may argue he's overhyped a little bit. That's not his fault. He's not asked for that. That's just what's happened. So we'll see how he gets on. Not had the best time, but away to Bremen, Club Bruges. Could sound daft when it say rejuvenate a child, but he's still only a young lad, and if he, like you say, if he gets a decent run of games, shows us what he's made of, then who knows? And we know that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is happy to use young players if they're good enough.
Of course, that's what's great about him. He is in the Fergie mold, isn't he? Which is nice to see.
You know what I mean? Like, so
a winner,
passion.
I mean, who was the last United manager to get a 9-0 win?
It's never happened before, Dave. We've never won 9-0 before. Was you old enough for that? You're my roughly my age, aren't you?
Quiz thing with you, and I messed it up because I thought it was for some reason I had Solskjaer in my head, and I thought it was Forrest. Yeah, I remember it.
Andy Cole got five of them, didn't he? Hey, he was under a bit of pressure. He soon silenced the critics that day. Yeah, that was a great time, and now we're back scoring those sorts of goals with another manager in the Fergie mold. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Is that it? Have we got any more for any more?
That's it, I'm afraid.
That's it. Well, you've done all right there because you've covered everything, to be fair to you. The Academy, under-23s and our loanees. So
one thing I can add as well.
Please do.
Is we've been drawn in the UEFA Youth League and we've been drawn against the holders, Real Madrid, which will be a tough game. I'm not too sure when they're going to play that game yet, if it's going to be at Lee or if it's going to be, I'm not too sure. The details haven't come out, but that should be a good game. United's under-19s against Real Madrid.
I don't know why it made me laugh when you say at Lee. Like, Real Madrid playing at Lee just amuses me.
I've seen Juventus play
at Lee. I know. Hey, never mind the Bernabeu. Get that at Lee Sports Village. That's where it's happening. That is the one that you'll be telling your grandkids years from now. Hey, I was there in 2021. So we'll keep you posted on that. Dave obviously will have the updates. Games coming thick and fast now. We're back in the swing of things.
Yeah, back to normal. I say, they have this winter break, which is supposed to be good for the players and the kids and stuff, but it's no good for me.
It's not good for you. And also, give them an hard lesson. Get them playing in the snow. Hey, that's what makes a man.
Well, I think as well, to be fair to him, I don't think many games would have been played with the weather we've had.
Because
it's, so it's probably a good thing.
It's probably a good thing they don't listen to me. But Dave will be back. You coming back next week?
Yeah, if you want.
Of course we want you. Back next week with an update as well. So we'll keep you posted on what's been happening with the likes of Yu-Gi-Oh, Diallo, Savage, and all the other, and the Lonies as well. Any developments there with Garner, with Chung, or with Bengi, or even Laird. Dave, always a pleasure. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at David J. Pritt and David on J. Instagram Pritt. At David Pritt.
David Pritt. Always check him out because even if he's not at the games, can't go to games, he's always watching him and keeping everyone posted as well. You know where to find me. Also, if you're not doing so already, make sure you subscribe to the channel. And to Dave, you've got a channel as well.
Yeah, I don't think I've posted anything in about a year.
Well, historically, go and check it out. Listen, because it's a good document.
I'll
history.
Plug it when I'm back at games.
Well, if you want to go and see his old videos, you can do. But if you want to see our videos, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Check out the members section as well. That's been Dave. I've been Jake. This has been the Academy Review. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.